You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Jack Kelly from the Fulhamish podcast. Jack, good to see you as always. This is the Fulham Hour. Lots to talk about. We're going to be reviewing the game with Cardiff from last Friday, 1-1 there. We might have to talk about that Harry Arter red card. I'm sure that might pop up. We're going to be looking ahead to September, the fixtures there. Now there is the international break. Are you pleased with the start in August? Life comes thick and fast being back in the Championship. Also, very delighted to say we will be talking to Rob Wilson, Fulham legend, a little bit later on in the show. And as always, we're going to be doing the listener questions, the Twitter questions, the Instagram questions. Anything that you want to know, the Fulhamish boys will put you right. And just maybe there might be some free word reviews. And of course, that's how Fulham do it. So let's kick it off because it was Cardiff Fulham last week. It was 1-1. Jack, what were those free word reviews?
Yeah, we got four or five crackers here. We've got Sophie Johnson with "He's out of control."
Oh, nice. We've got touché.
Yeah, we've got Dan Winter with "Superb game management," which I thought I agreed with. We've got our very own Nathan Martin with "Colin can't close." We've got Harry Prowse with "Yellow card galore," and then we'll of course finish with, of course, Richard Bamber, who always contributes, and he'll take a point.
Take a point. Lots of to digest there and unpack. Jack Kelly is in the traditional seat of Don Betts tonight. Not sure how Don will feel. Jack, you're looking good in it. You read out the reviews just as well, if not better. I can say that Dom's not here, so we won't mind. The show is in good hands. Let's start with those three word reviews. You said 1-1. It was superb game management. I assume you're talking about Scott Parker. Why was it superb game management?
Well, because when you go down to 10 men with 25 minutes to go, you've got to see it out. Against a team like Cardiff, who...
At home.
Well, yeah, exactly. When they're at home and they're going to cause all the issues, they're going to, you know, throw the kitchen sink at you when they have the one-man advantage. And I just felt when we went down to 10 men, I thought, now we're really under some pressure. And what was frustrating was we were dominating the game up to that stage. And I thought if, obviously, we still had 11 men, I thought we would have gone on and won the game. And as I said after the game, I was frustrated, but at the same time, I was quite satisfied with a point, because if we'd have lost that game to Cardiff, we would have really lost some ground on the top six. And, you know, after the Saturday fixtures, I looked at the table and we were sixth in the table. And that's always nice to be in the playoffs going into that international break.
Well, you said Fulham's aspirations, obviously, are to win every game, get back to the Premier League. That's what they want to do. And, you know, when you're going into any game with that mentality, 3 points is a must. Anything else is points drops, and it's almost a failure. It's almost a loss. But you can look at certain games when we get to a later point in the season. When we look back, that was a point earned there. Let's not look at his 2 points drop. Cardiff, they were relegated from the Premier League themselves. They're no easy ride. There's going to be games there, you know, tough away places, your Elland Road, Cardiff. A point there is not so bad. The only flip side, Jack, and maybe the negative, is in all the games that Fulham are having this season, you know, it's the possession, it's the dominance of controlling all that matters on the field. Now, we know it was super high against Millwall. It might have even been one of the highest that Fulham have either had or the Championship has either seen. I can't remember the exact number, but it was very, very, I think 89, 86, somewhere around
89
there.
In the first half.
And yeah, 89% possession, and obviously it resulted in a 4-0 win. But once again, 69% percent possession against Cardiff. You've not come away with the 3 points. When you see a stat like that, does it make it more frustrating?
Well, I think what happened was when we went down to 10 men, we lost that dominance because, like I just said, you know, they'll have the ascendancy, Cardiff, especially at home. But yeah, it's frustrating because there was large spells of the game where we had the ball for such a long time and we weren't actually doing anything with it. It was almost like it took us to go 1-0 down to actually wake up and get the immediate equaliser, which we did. There were a couple of chances before the goal. Knockhart had a shot wide, but Mitrovic was quite quiet. But the goal came about at the perfect time because obviously we'd just gone 1-0 down against the run of play. Josh Murphy put it away, and I think Bettinelli could have done so much better with the shot. And then they almost went 2-0 up, and Bettinelli actually pulled off one of his best saves he made so far this season. So in that aspect, when we dominated the game and we dominated the ball like we did, it is frustrating not coming away with the 3 points. We've got to look at it in context. We were down to 10 men for 25 minutes, so a point is pretty much okay for us.
You were down to 10 men, but you did have that incredible possession, 69%. But this is the problem, because on the face of it, you can see 69% possession, but the first thing you said there, Jack, was we're not creating enough chances. Is that a worry? With a stat like that and you're having that much of the ball and a front three of Mitrovic, Cavallero and Tony Knockers, as he's affectionately known on this show, should you be creating a lot more, but B, scoring a lot more? Because before the season started, you know, this was a very feared trio, you know, a deadly three up front. It's not really quite kicked off like that, has it?
We've scored an okay amount of goals. I think the 4-0 obviously is the standout performance, but it worried me slightly after the game when Parker, in his post-match interview, when he was furious. I've never seen anything like it from Scott Parker. He was asked the question, do you think you create a lack of chances? And he said, no, I'm happy with the way we play, but he was basically saying he was satisfied with the way we just pass it around and basically wait for gaps to exploit and wait for holes to play the passes through. And that kind of concerned me because, you know, you want to be more direct. We're the dominant team in the game. You want to get the ball straight up to the strikers and even to the wing and try and attack down the middle and down all paths of the pitch. But if he's happy with just sitting on the ball and waiting for the odd chance to come about, that concerns me, because maybe he meant it in the way that it was against a better team like Cardiff. But if we were playing someone down at the bottom of the table, I'd expect us to be not looking for holes to exploit, but basically penetrating the back four of the opposition so much that they have to drop back, which gives us more space to create those chances.
Well, no disrespect to Millwall, you know, they are one of the lower sides of the Championship compared to the likes of the Fulham, the Leeds, the Swanseas. You did put them to the sword. It was 4-0. But this is the problem. When you are coming up, the Cardiff, you know, a really annoying defeat at home to Nottingham Forest. Yeah. They went down it. Is this where you're not creating enough chances? Because it's okay doing it in certain games, but you need to do it in the bigger games.
Yeah.
And then maybe is consistency the issue then, Jack?
It's hard to say, because I think if you look at Huddersfield away, that was a really tough away game on paper, and we actually came away with the 3 points deservedly. I just think it was a case of on Friday night that we just weren't ruthless enough in front of goal. And actually, the goal we scored was pretty lucky, because the ball from Kearney to Caviero kind of went across the box and kind of just caught the defence by surprise. If they were a bit more alert, then that would have easily been swept away by Morrison, and he kind of just was flat-footed as Mitrovic just tapped it home. So
I think that was a well-worked goal, though.
No,
not that
good.
He
it
was doing a disservice to Mitrovic, but he started that movement, he won the ball, and literally no Cardiff player, everyone turned their attention off him. He almost ghosted into the area, and then he simple tapping. He wasn't picked. He was 40 yards away from the goal line, wasn't he? He literally ran forward. He went with a play. That's a very clever, smart play there, wasn't it? It was a well-worked goal from Mitrovic, who started that move.
Yeah, and Kenny's footwork was good. It looked at times like the chance was gone. He kept it alive, and of course, Cavalera's ball across the box just evaded everyone, and that's where Mitrovic scored. 5 goals in a row now for Mitrovic. I'm really, really pleased that he's got off the mark, especially after the Barnsley game, where the Barnsley kind of pulled our pants down a little bit with a tweet saying that their defence is all defence in the Championship going to be terrified with Mitrovic, and of course he didn't have a sniff against Barnsley, so Barnsley kind of took the mick. But now he's got 5 in 5 games, so going, obviously, into that international break. Hopefully, he can carry on with Serbia, and then we kick on at West Brom.
Well, he had a shorter season in the year that Fulham were promoted from the Championship, and he got, was it 26 goals? Or was it 19 goals in 26 appearances? Something like that, wasn't it?
It was like 17 or something within...
It was a short... He didn't have the full season, did he?
He joined in January.
Yeah, exactly. So if we're basing it on a full season, he can reach those heights. 5 in 5, we know what he can achieve. A great goal there by Mitrovic to get the equaliser. Let's talk now a little bit about the red card, because a lot's been made of this. It was a second yellow for Harry Arter. First and foremost, before we come to what Scott Parker thought and what Harry Arter thought, where do you stand on it?
See, this is the thing, because I was at the ground and...
I feel like I just got serious. This is the thing.
I saw Arter go down and I thought, yeah, he hasn't been touched there. But the referee gave a corner. Sorry, the linesman gave a corner. And then, of course, Arter, ex-Cardiff, they were booing him all game. Mm. And the Cardiff fans...
That played into his head a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah. It completely played into... And it played into the referee's head as well, because the referee's decision was swung based on the crowd's reaction, which is ludicrous. It shouldn't happen. The referee should have a stronger mentality and he should be able to make decisions on his own without crowd influence. And then he goes to speak to the linesman and he goes, oh, has he dived? He's diving. Obviously, the crowd is shouting off to Arter. And then, of course, he gets sent off. So I think if that's at Craven Cottage, that's not a red. Whether he dived or not, he might have got touched by, I think it was Morrison. I don't know. I'm going to defend him because he's been one of our best players this season. He's out for one game, which is a shame, but gives a chance for Johansson and Reed to come in. Look, I don't like diving. And obviously, if it was the opposition, I would be furious. Mm. And rightfully so, he got sent off. But... You know, I love Arter to the end of the world.
Yeah, he was booked for diving simulation. He obviously, after the game, first thing I will say about Harry Arter, I don't think he's a diver and I don't think he's a liar, more importantly.
No, I don't think he tried to deceive. I think what he was doing was trying to win that corner.
Yeah, and there's a difference. I think this is, you know, not to take it away from Fulham, but the big thing this week is Harry Kane the diver. And there's a little thing of people forget there's a gamesmanship thing. It's called trying to win free kicks rather than diving and cheating and all this. But of Harry Arter, I will say that A, I don't think he's a diver. B, I don't think he's a liar. He was incensed after the game. He even tweeted on social media. He said there was definite contact. He said there was contact there. Scott Parker, obviously, they are family, but he is his manager. He will protect him. He said if he's saying there contact, there was contact. The only problem where I don't think Harry Arter helps himself, Jack, is the fact it's A, he goes down quite a while after the contact, and he goes down theatrically. It was almost the arms are flung in the air, and then when he hits the deck, he does a roll afterwards. And when you as Fulham fans or the neutrals who are watching the game, we're trying to see where the contact is. The way he goes down in Iraq, it doesn't help his situation, does it?
No, it doesn't. And the point that Parker was making after the game was that the pace of the game, if you slow it down on the replays, you can clearly see that, you know, it's more theatrical, but he was trying to say that the pace of the game, the referee shouldn't be making those kind of, overturning those kind of decisions, which I think is kind of fair enough. At the same time, every decision is scrutinised. It's not the first time we've had... I mean, I remember Huddersfield away this season when Mitrovic got clipped in the face. He didn't really... And he made a big scene about it. So we got embarrassed there on Twitter and social media and stuff. But, I'm just... I don't really know how to feel about it, because Arter, one of my favourite players so far this season, does... kind of cost us 3 points, because I think honestly if he stays on the pitch we're going on to win that game, but even then, like,
I think that's why he apologised, didn't he? I think that's why he felt like he'd let the fans down.
Yeah, I think he probably in retrospect probably thought that wasn't the best idea to do, but then
it was just after the first yellow as well. He's not really thinking smart there, is it? And this is where the fans have played into his head
completely. I think the crowd have completely got into his head, which is poor from an experienced player like Arter.
100%.
But then a few weeks ago we were talking about that incident where he shouted leave it in that game last season against Watford, and maybe that's his karma for that.
Yeah, but that is one of the best moments I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's top footballer, in my opinion, to do that, to think about that. We have to talk then, because we know we spoke about the deadly trio, what they offer up front for Fulham and how much possession they are having, you know, and when they're on fire, what they can do. But when you've got a side that is that fluid, is that attacking, Jack, it's always going to leave you a little bit suspect at the back. And is this where, because I felt that, all right, Cardiff, great goal they scored, but... It was more Fulham's own undoing, you know. It was the first sniff that Cardiff got, and Fulham, they were so forward in the pitch that when Cardiff broke that rapidly, it was almost Fulham were playing catch up, and they couldn't quite live with it. Is this where Fulham are quite vulnerable?
Yeah, I think I think that goal completely played into Cardiff's tactics. So they would have wanted to pick us off in the middle of the park and then play the ball over the top to Josh Murphy, in which they did. Was it Jacob or Josh? No, it's Josh Murphy. And Sessegnon's too far up the pitch that by the time that ball goes over, he's lost the race. But then again, Murphy has a lot to do. And apparently, I was talking to my brothers after the game. They were like, oh, we're watching on TV. The pitch was really bobbly. It's no excuse. That shot shouldn't go in. Bettinelli has an absolute nightmare of it. And going back to your actual original question, that's where we are going to be vulnerable. So if we keep this possession base and we lose it, we're going to get broken on. And you could say in the Premier League, you're going to get punished more, but I think in the Championship as well. We lost the ball quite hard up the pitch against Nottingham Forest. We got punished, and then the same against Cardiff. So that's two games in a row. Sessegnon getting kind of caught out of position. But yeah, Bettinelli should have done better with the goal. I was really disappointed with that.
Well, Bettinelli should have done better with the goal. It is the international break. We're going to be talking about all things that Fulham could work on and looking ahead to their September.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Jack Kelly from the Fulhamish Pod. We are talking where everything about Fulham is concerned. We were just looking at that game on Friday night, 1-1 to Cardiff. Obviously, talking about the Harry Arter red card. A little while later, we're going to be talking to Rob Wilson, Fulham legend, seeing what he thinks and about the start that Fulham have made back in the Championship. But let's talk now a little bit, because I want to go back to that, Jack. We were just talking about how good that front three is, but how Fulham are a little bit suspect, a little bit vulnerable at the back. It is the international break now. We know what Fulham are going forward. We know that's going to be the way and the style of play that they're going to play. But do we need to work on a defence? Is that something Scott Parker should address in this international break? Or is it more of a case, don't worry, if we let him free, we'll score four?
I think there are, to be fair, we haven't actually conceded too many goals this season compared to the start of the last, albeit we're in a higher division. There are some issues. It's just that kind of high risk, high reward playing out from the back style that's always going to be risky. It was risky under Jukanovic. It's going to be risky under Scott Parker. And I think it's the best way to play football. I think the silky football we saw under Jukanovic the season before we got promoted and then when we got promoted was some of the best, probably the best full of memories I have in my life. And hopefully we can, you know, rekindle and replicate those kind of memories this season, the Championship under Parker. I would say that I just think that when we have the ball, like you said earlier, with the Cardiff goal, we were too far up the pitch. So when we do lose the ball, we get caught. So that is something to, you know, think about. But then also, on the flip side, when we go forward, we like to have Joe Bryan and Steven Sessegnon, whoever's playing right back, overlapping, you know, Knockaert and Caviero, because what's happening is Knockaert's getting found out, but he's being known as the most trickiest winger. So whenever he gets the ball on the right-hand side, there's two defenders on him. He gets doubled up, so he needs that support. So I just think that we're very, very attacking, and we're a very attacking team. And if you have someone like Harry Arter, who can just sit in and just protect the back four, then I think that's fine. And Harry Arter, like I've said earlier, has done an absolutely brilliant job this season. And even Kevin McDonald playing centre-back in the Cup the other day, like, that's another nice option we have. I would just say that we're too attacking, and I would rather us go full pelt and try and score four or five per game. Obviously, you want to keep a clean sheet, and, you know,
Don't want teams to know you're vulnerable and they can get at you. If Fulham are so far forward, you always hit them on the counter.
Yeah, completely.
You don't want that to be your floor and people to expose that constantly.
No, and I think that's something we'll learn. I think it will be judged on each opposition and what kind of attacking threats they have. So West Brom, you know, they've got the likes of Kenneth Zahor, Matt Phillips, Dean Garner, who started the season really, really well for West Brom. So I think we should be more cautious going forward. And I think, like, even without the wing-backs overlapping, I think we've got enough quality in the final third to create chances, especially with Kenny as a 10 and Bobby Reid coming off the bench. So I think it just depends on the opposition. If we were playing a team lower down in the division where we could just completely bombard them and just try and score and score and score, and then beat, because obviously when we played Millwall, they didn't really have much going on the break, so we could kind of just go kind of full pelt at them. But yeah, it kind of just depends on the opposition.
Well, life in the Championship does come fast. Six games in the Championship, seven games in all in August, because you did have the League Cup game to Southampton. So you know how quick those games do come around. Six games, 10 points. Are you pleased with that? And is it something that if I offered you that before the first ball was kicked, before that disappointing opening day defeat to Barnsley, I would have said, Jack, six games, 10 points, would you have taken it?
Yep, I could. That was my tweet after the game on Friday. I said, if someone told me, you know, where we'd be with 10 points, I would have taken it. I think, in retrospect, Barnsley was a huge, huge wake-up call for us. I think it kind of just... I'm really quite glad we lost that game, because it kind of went, oh, hold on, we need to kind of just calm down and change things, because I literally turned up to Oakwell thinking we're going to smash them, and we were playing so well the first 10 minutes.
It was almost, and it's not a disrespectful thing to Barnsley, but you're so in the Fulham bubble, you think, oh, we're going to steamroll these, yeah. But Barnsley are a very good
side. Bear in mind, when we turned up, Barnsley hadn't lost at home in over a year or something like that, so that kind of thing you kind of forget about. And then obviously we played Blackburn, we got the job done, and then what was the third game? Millwall. And then Forest, and then Huddersfield, then Millwall. So we had a nice three wins in a row, and then we were like, oh, we're getting back into that, you know, championship routine of, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, and getting 3 points every week, which is nice. And then obviously Forest was a bit of a wake up call as well. So yeah, it's been a very classic championship start.
Three wins on the bench now, yeah. The last two a loss and a draw. A typical championship life.
That's what I said in one of my reaction videos.
Just been stalking your videos and tweets, Jack.
Honestly, I said after the game against Forest, I said, when we beat Millwall 4-0, don't get expectations too high, because we've got a game in 3 days against a very good Forest team. And what happened is they came up and beat us 2-1, so... You can't get too ahead of yourself, especially this stage of the season.
Yeah, well, you can't get too ahead of yourself, but you said you would have taken 10 points for six. Obviously, a slightly quieter September. There is a little international break, but football does come back round. Now that sort of we are six games of the season, we are back in the Championship, Scott Parker has six games to stamp more of an identity on the side. Are you hopeful that September can be a little bit better?
Well, we've got three games against West Brom, Sheffield Wednesday and Wigan.
There's no easy games, though, in the Championship, is there at all?
I could fully expect us. Everyone's going to be like, Wigan, easy, banker, 3 points, and we'll turn up, we'll lose 1-0, 2-1, or draw 1-0, disappointingly. It's happened before, it'll probably happen again, but I said that minimum 7 points needed in September if you want to, you know, keep up this playoff push or automatic promotion push. I think West Brom are very vulnerable at the back. They haven't kept a clean sheet this season. They're good going forward, but... You know, we're also good going forward, so it could be a very high score, goal-scoring game. Sheffield Wednesday have only beaten teams in the lower half of the division. They've lost to every team in the top half. And Wigan are just terrible away from home. They haven't really had much to shout about so far this season, apart from beating Cardiff on the opening day. So I would fully expect us to get those 3 points. So I would take a draw against West Brom, and I think we would beat Wednesday away, and I think we will beat Wigan at home.
Well, you are pleased with the start, but has the international break come at the right time? Because also the foreign transfer window has now closed. Mm. There has been a few more outgoings where Fulham are concerned. We'll talk about those. But is this now time? This is the side we're going with. This is the settled side. We can work on things. The foreign transfer window isn't hanging over us. We can work on it. We can really move forward. And now we've got a little window where we can prepare for the sides we are going to face, because we have this little stretch of a few days. One of the players that has gone, and I know Guy will be absolutely gutted, and I'm sure we'll be arranging some sort of send-off. Mm. Fabry has gone. What do you make of that news?
Well, I mean, he played two games for us and hasn't featured since. I'm not surprised he's gone. I'm not surprised he's probably looking for first-team football. He's a good Champions League keeper. He was before he joined Fulham, played against Palace and Spurs, and that was the end of his Fulham career.
Where did it go wrong for him, or why did it not start for him? Because I know we always have a joke about Fabian, but we always follow it with he's a Champions League goalkeeper. Why has he not managed to force his way into the Fulham side then?
I'm trying to think. the third game we played against Burnley, I'm pretty sure Bettinelli played that one. So it was just the fact that I think we conceded 5 goals in the first 2 games.
And that was it? Was it literally? Yeah. There was no way back for him. No return.
Maybe fans were calling for Bettinelli, and then obviously maybe Fabry could come as a cup keeper. But then we brought in... Oh, actually, what happened? No, wait. We brought in Rico before the season started, because that's when the window closed. Honestly, I can't even answer that question. It's bizarre how he only played 2 games. Bettinelli then got a run, and then obviously Rico went on to be the first choice keeper. He's now at PSG, which is bizarre.
They've had some good keepers, Fulham, some good connections.
Exactly.
With Champions League, PSG, but they've stuck with Bettinelli. But I know you mentioned it, because why I did want to talk about Fabry, you mentioned Bettinelli was maybe at fault in Friday night. Yeah. He's had a couple of mistakes this year. Yeah. How pleased are you with Bettinelli being the one in between the sticks?
Oh, it's something that's always going to spark debate, isn't it? I thought...
Not that I'm trying, Jack.
No, at all, but I thought... One thing, Magnus Norman, Marek Rodak, when he came in against Southampton, was good, and he made some really good one-on-one saves.
I thought he had a decent performance.
Yeah, but they But then it looks at our defence and going, why are you giving Southampton those chances? But anyway, that's a different matter. Yeah, so Norman... Oh, why does he keep saying Norman? It's Marek Rodak. Marek Rodak played very well, and I wouldn't be surprised if he came in, you know, within the next few games. But yeah, Bettinelli's... He's just always been that guy, and he's always got the fans backing because he's local and he's been through the academy. So you kind of have to look at it that way. Whereas Rodak's had two very, very good spells at Rotherham in the Championship and League One. I wouldn't be surprised if he came in midway through the season if Bettinelli made another howler, because he's made a few in his Fulham career. I can remember one against Sunderland in the Cup. Oh, sorry, in the Cup. And that wasn't good.
Is it that on a knife edge that if Bettinelli, you know, has a few more dodgy performances, you know, a howler away, he's already made a few this season, we could see a case of Rodak starting, you know, this isn't cemented number one under Scott Parker?
It's difficult, because I just think that Parker might have just installed that kind of faith in him, and Rodak's just the cup keeper. The only thing I can think of is when Bettinelli makes more and more errors, it's just fan pressure on social media. And I don't think that's going to get through to the club.
Do you think managers listen to fan pressure? And because, you know, it must be so different now for a manager managing in 2019 to 20, 30 years ago, because everyone does have a voice. You know, this is the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. We've got a voice. Twitter, social media, Instagram, everyone is out there giving an opinion. So is it hard for players, managers to switch that off? Because if there's a problem or certain fans aren't happy with the way things are going or how things are being run, everyone knows about it.
I think it's easier if you're a higher up club. I don't think we have too much. It's not like you're going to open a mainstream newspaper and the whole back page is about the Fulham goalkeeper crisis that they're having. I think if anything, it would be a little segment in the Evening Standard. But
again, even if you're not the mainstream, you're in that Fulham bubble, you know. I'm sure, and if you've got Twitter yourself, managers, I don't know how many managers have Twitter, but, you know, there must be someone, the press team, you know, Scott's had a bit of press. Those things do leak down. It doesn't have to be mainstream, doesn't it?
Because
you it's all relative to you.
Yeah, I think they would be aware of things. I think maybe if there was a chant at a game as well, that they'd hear it, put Rodak in or whatever, something like that. I think that it would take something quite disastrous for Bettinelli to get out of that team. But I would not mind to see Rodak play in the league. He was fine against Southampton.
Well, one man who may know all about fan pressure and if a manager will change his mind, we're delighted to say we're going to be talking to Rob Wilson next, who is a Fulham legend. Love Sport. You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Jack Kelly from the Fulhamish podcast. We are talking everything where Fulham are concerned. We was looking at the 1-1 draw with Cardiff from Friday night. We've been talking about how good was their start to the Championship. 10 points. Jack said he would have taken it before, so he's semi-pleased. Now, obviously, we're in September, the international break, what the Scott Parker side need to work on. But now, though, we've come to a very... I'm so pleased now to say that we are joined on the phone by Rob Wilson. Rob, I can't even get my words out. I'm that excited, mate, that you have joined us here on the phone. It is Rob Wilson, Fulham legend. Rob, delighted for you to give us a little bit of your time tonight. We really appreciate you coming on. Do you agree with Jack? He said 10 points from 6 games. The games come thick and fast in the Championship. It's a good start. Do you agree?
Yes. Good evening, Charlie. Good evening, Jack. Yeah, in one sense, I'm slightly disappointed. I mean, I think it's been, you know, a start that I would have anticipated, but I'm slightly disappointed at the number of points. I still think we should be at least at 13. Other than the Millwall game is the only game for 90 minutes that we've actually put a performance together. I think other than that, the other 5 games have been a bit sort of, you know, we've had 20, 25 minutes or we've had 45 minutes. I mean, obviously the horrendous start at Barnsley away, which I don't know whether you were there, was a kick in the wrong place to start with. But I think we've slowly bounced back at each game. It's still not the finished article, but I can see what Scott's doing. And as I say, the 90-minute performance against Millwall was, well, I thought it was out of this world. It was one of the best performances I've seen for many a year from the Fulham side. But, you know, we just didn't follow that up. Forest, the following game, obviously Huddersfield, and then the Forest game was slightly disappointing to have all this possession. Possession doesn't win your games, you know, and I just think we need to be a little bit more ruthless. And like you say, Friday night at Cardiff, we were probably poor in the first half. I think Scott had given them a rollicking at half time. I think we changed our way again of playing second half, kept it a bit longer. And we're probably, you know, looking like the team that might go on and win it. And then obviously Arthur sending off stupidly was probably cost us the extra 2 points. So yeah, it's a fairly good start, but if I were honest, I'm slightly disappointed that the total's not a little bit higher than 10 points.
Well, you're disappointed that the total's not a little bit high. You said maybe it should be 13. It is 10, although there's still such a long way to go. 40 games to go, Rob. But is it more than maybe that the performances are causing you more of a concern then at the minute?
Yeah, definitely. I just think that we're a little bit inconsistent. You know, we're still giving sloppy goals away. I mean, no one scored an absolute worldie against us. You know, we do seem to look very good going forward, as you would do with the front three and Kearney, and the midfield now looks pretty secure. But same old Fulham, you know, defensively, we still look like we can concede goals. You know, with Forest the other day, first 4 minutes, they just broke and scored. And then 15 minutes into the second half, again, their only chance, they score, you know. And that's disappointing that we're not nullifying some of the mistakes that we've made over the last season. But as you say, it's early days. I still think we're going to be up there. I mean, look at Leeds, you know, they've battled hard and expected to win against Swansea on Saturday, who started very, very well and kind of stuck in the last minute. So it's such a you know, relentless division playing Saturday, Tuesday. It's just nice to get a 2 week break. I understand knockouts have been carrying an injury now for the last three games, so it'd be nice for him to have 2 weeks off and get that right. We haven't got too many guys on international duty, which is good, really. So, you know, we should be ready for West Brom on Saturday week.
Yeah, I was going to just ask about how the fact that the league has been so wide open so far. You've got Charlton up there, Swansea have been really surprisingly good, and also Leeds. Do you still see us by May being right up there, either in automatics or in the playoffs?
I fully expect us to win the division. If not finish second, I'd be very, very disappointed if we're not there with either Leeds or West Brom. I put my head on the block on this radio station at the beginning of the season. I think I'll stand by that, even though we didn't invest defensively. You know, I knew with the investment in the quality players going forward, I thought he would have got a couple of defenders in, i.e. a right back, although Stevens come in and done fantastically well. And we need to keep Tottenham out of his reach come January. And centre-halves, I still think there's a risk there. I mean, even Mawson, you know, I mean, under no pressure on Friday, kept giving the ball away, you know, and just alarmingly sometimes. And Marsland the same, Reams being a bit in and out. So I just think, you know, I'd like to have seen a centre-half. And I also think, you know, a goalkeeper could have been a good investment. I mean, obviously, we've lost Rico and Bettinelli's come back in, but I still think he's been at fault at some of the goals, even though he's a good shot stopper.
Rob, you said you're happy to go on record. Fulham should win the league this year, if not go up second. But if they're going to go and do that and achieve that this year, they're going to have to cut out the silly mistakes that are costing them. They're almost shooting themselves in the foot, hurting themselves. And they can't have these, you know, you said going up, it was a terrible result against Barnsley, almost shocking there. They have to guard against complacency, the disappointing defeat at home to Forest. You know, it's almost like they took Barnsley lightly, you know. Barnsley, they don't lose at home. They haven't lost at home in ages. They were the team coming up, they got promoted, and you always hear this, the teams that come up are underestimated and the teams that go down are overestimated. How do you guard against complacency? Because you have to win those key games as well, don't you?
Oh, most definitely, and I think you're dead right. I think we went into that game, you know, probably thinking that we were going to roll them over pretty easy. You know, they had five guys making their debuts, you know, four or five of them under 21, three transfers, and you know, they've just done a job on us on the day, as did Forest did the other day. Two slightly different contrasting performances from them teams. But, yeah, and we'll probably have games like that, you know, when we play other teams in this division, as well as you mentioned the likes of Charlton and Swansea have started very well. You know, it is a very tough division, and as much as we look good going forward, I still have that reservations about defensively. We need to be, you know, we can't go and win games 3-2 and 4-3 and 2-1. We need to keep a few clean sheets on the trot. But I can see the way Scott's trying to play. You know, it's a possession based game. He's getting his message home to the lads. As I said, I mean, anyone who watched the Millwall game, I know they were poor on the night, but we made them poor. And, you know, for 90 minutes solid, it was just ruthless. And sometimes against teams in this division, you will not get that amount of possession like we did, although we had 77 against Forest and 70-odd against Cardiff. You know, we've got to, when we're having that amount of possession, we've got to be a little bit more creative and get some end product on it. Otherwise, one mistake like that does happen and we get punished because no one seems to score a good goal against us. They're all either individual errors or, you know, it's a mistake from two or three people in the build-up to the goal. So, yeah, I just think we need to be a little bit more on the front foot. And when we're 1-0 up or 2-1 up, I just think we need to close games out a little bit better and see it through a little bit. And game management needs to be a little bit better than it has been in the first six games.
Rob, we know from your own opinion that you think that Fulham, you know, should win the title or second, go up automatic promotion this year. If that is the case, you know, and do you think the Fulham board agree with you? If they don't achieve that this year, and that is the minimum requirement, could we see that if Fulham fail to do that, a case of they may get rid of Scott Parker? Do you think that that's the minimum requirement for him as well?
I'd imagine it'll be under a little bit of pressure because the investment the board have made on the back of, you know, last year's 100 million investment, although much of that or more the wages of them players are off the wage bill at the moment. And I think Tony Khan and recruitment and the board have done very well in investing in Caballero and Knockhart with sort of agreeing a loan fee for this season and possibly if we do go up, you know, buying him, because it will probably go into next year's budget on the wages side of it. So, I'm sure Scott's remit is that, you know, he wants to bounce straight back up after the disappointment of last season. And I'm sure with the amount of money that they're paying out in terms of loan fees and salaries to some of these players, and keeping, obviously, Kearney and Mitro, you know, with new extensions of their contracts and up their salaries, I'm sure, you know, it's a very big investment from Tony and the board. So, yeah, I think Scott will be under no illusions that his remit is to get us up. And like you say, I wouldn't make any comment this early in the season to think that his job could be under threat if he didn't do that. But you know, he's a good young English manager that's just got onto the ladder. I think he's got all the credentials of being a top manager. Privy to a few things behind the scene, and I know the lads love him and the training's excellent and the team Scott's got with him in the background of staff is excellent. So, you know, I think everything's there for us to make a real good challenge this season after the disappointment of last year.
Well, let's hope you do get promoted. Rob, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your time. We really appreciate that. Robert Wilson.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime you want, guys. No
cheers, problem. Rob. We'd love to speak to you at a later point in the season. So thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time.
By all means, thank you. Good evening.
Robert Wilson there, former Fulham legend. Delighted to talk to him. He's saying that, Jack, you were shaking your head. He was saying that automatic has to be. They have to win the title or go up at least by a second.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, we were one of the bookies' favourites. Of course, Leeds keeping Bielsa was huge. It's just so difficult to keep it consistent for 46 games, especially with our, you know, defence, which isn't... I think the Championship, if you want to get promoted, you have to have a solid base. You look at Burnley, when Sean Dyche, they got relegated
from the
Premier League.
This is why I'm worried, though, Jack, not to interrupt you, but this is why I'm worried, because Fulham are scoring the goals, but if they keep getting fanned out of the back, that is not a solid foundation, is it?
Exactly, and that's what Burnley did so well. They had such a good defence. They had very solid midfield, and they had potent strikers who would poach goals at this level. Norwich did it brilliantly. Their defence was shaky at times, but they managed to outscore opponents in five or six goal thrillers last season. Leeds didn't quite have it at the end. They fell apart like they usually do. And Villa went on a very good run, quite similar to us. Not quite as good, but they got all the way into the playoffs and of course won against Derby in the final. I just don't know if we have it. I don't know if we have it enough. I just want to be cautious because I got very ahead of myself at the beginning of last season saying, yeah, we'll finish mid-table in the Premier League. Look how that worked out, but as Don would say, I wouldn't mind not getting promoted.
Just very quickly, and it wasn't to put Scott Parker on the spot, because I think he's, you know, he was a brilliant player, brilliant young manager, great that he's getting a chance, he's got the pieces around him, but it was more, if Fulham fans really expect that we should bounce straight back, minimum required, you know, Rob Wilson, their Fulham legend, saying, you know, we should be winning this division. So by any accounts, whoever's managing, if you then don't, or you miss the playoffs, or you're thinking, is he on the hot seat? And it's not that, oh, he should be. It's just, is that going to be the case? Because you can't say this is the expectation. If we fall short of that, where do you stand for next year? Do you agree? Will there be, will Scott Parker be on that hot seat?
I think there's always pressure with the team we have. If you look at the actual team on paper, it's probably second strongest, if not strongest in the division. The only thing I would say that favours Scott is that he's so inexperienced in the first team management position that if we don't go up this time around, or let's say we get very, very, very close and lose out in the playoffs, he'll probably get his second chance. And the more experience he gains from this season, the better it will stand him in good stead for next season. But because if we get promoted, he's going to be our manager in the Premier League. So he's going to have a huge, huge task to try and keep us up once again. So it's kind of all up in the air. I'd give him time, Scott Parker.
This is a debate that could go on and on, but we do cover it here on the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Next, though, it's time for a favourite segment. It is Listener Questions.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Jack Kelly from the Fulhamish podcast. We have covered lots of Fulham tonight. We just spoke to Rob Wilson, ex-Fulham legend. We, of course, were talking the 1-1 draw with Cardiff last Friday. Now, though, it is time for the favourite segment of the show. Apart from free word reviews, it is, of course, the listeners' questions. I will ask Jack these questions that we got from Twitter. The first one, Aaron McGuigan asks, obviously, the foreign transfer window, Jack, is now closed. Why aren't, though, more of our youth going out on loan?
It's tough. I mean, there's been opportunities for the likes of Tyu Aiden, who had a loan spell at Ipswich last season. I think it was up until January. It might have been cut short as well, but Ipswich were very much struggling last season. I just think that I think the squad isn't bulky. It's quite thin, so we kind of do need the likes of Luca Della Torre to kind of step in. Obviously, we've got Stephen Sessegnon now starting first team. We've got Marlon Fossey, who's still in and around the squad. So I wouldn't say that it's because they're not good enough. I just feel like we do need the bodies just in case we do get injuries.
Okay, well, next question. Jack, it's just you tonight, so you're answering all the questions. The next question is, why is Bettinelli so slow in taking his goal kicks? It's weird, you know. Is it due to his lack of movement? And that's from Adam Bright.
He does seem to take his time. He got a yellow card against Cardiff for doing it. I don't really know. I think, obviously, with the centre-backs, the new rule is that the centre-backs can now come into the box to receive goal kicks. His distribution isn't great. I don't know why he's so slow, but there are times where the ball gets passed back to the keeper, and he just seems to take his time to the very, very last moment before it's going to get intercepted to boot it away. And it does kind of put me on edge a little bit. I don't really know why he takes his time. Maybe he likes to wind up the support behind him.
The next question is from Luke. He said, our football is very precise and measured, but do we not think that we would score a lot more goals as well as keeping possession if sometimes we actually played more a direct style of football? Not talking about just lump it to Mitro, but be breaking out of the lines and pressing much quicker.
Yeah, I think we lack press, and high-intensity teams win the ball back so well with that pressing, and I just feel like we get caught out at being pressed at more than we do press the opposition. I would like to see us be a little bit more direct at times, but then again, I'm kind of with Parker Ball. I don't know why I call it Parker Ball, but everyone seems to call it those these days. But I'm kind of, you know, buying into the system, and I think the players are as well. It's very specific. It's very based on instructions. And you know, if there are mistakes, it's basically the manager's always like, it's my fault for doing it. I'm the one with the instructions. I would say that plan B would be trying to lump it to Mitrovic and try and feed off scraps from there. I don't mind the approach we take at the moment. I think it's working fine.
The next question from Ollie. And by the way, thank you for all these questions. It's great to have questions we can read out that have been tweeted in into the studio. Why do we never... This question's from Ollie. Why do we never seem to make the cottage a fortress? We always seem to lose early on in the season, and we always regularly perform better away from home than we do at home.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think based on recent seasons. You look back in the Premier League, we used to be terrible away from home. We couldn't even get an away win. It used to be one or two away wins per season, and it used to be the home points and the home games that would get us enough points to keep us in the division. I think with the Championship, you're always going to have different experiences. And I think if you want a promotion push, yes, you should make your home ground a fortress, but I don't think there's too much of an issue. I think Craven Cottage hasn't seen a 0-0 draw since 2012 in the league, which is an extraordinary stat.
That's incredible stat.
Aston Villa at home, 0-0. We had a 0-0 against Wolves in the Cup in 2015, but that wasn't in the league. I don't really know. I think the fortress thing about Craven Cottage is integral. I think it's essential to promotion push, but I don't see too many issues with it. I think, yeah, we do lose the odd stupid home game, but I think we've played fairly well at the Cottage. Kicking to the Hammersmith end in the second half is always special.
Well, we kind of spoke about this a little bit earlier, but Mike has tweeted in. He said, does Rodak get a chance after the break?
Maybe against Wigan. Maybe against an opposition that maybe we don't see too much of a threat from. Although you do want to see the keeper in action. I just think if Bettinelli reacts well to this international break and has a few performances, no need to change it. Like I said earlier, if it gets disastrous, then put Rodak in.
David Manning, do you think Matt O'Riley or DLT will start a match this season?
Yes, I fully back De La Torre to start a game this season in the league. I think there will be times where we probably do pick up injuries. There are, you know, fatigue. And O'Riley's difficult because we've got so much defensive midfield cover right now with McDonald. Yeah, Johansson can obviously drop in as well, and Harry Arter, Ibrahim Asise, so he might be down the pecking order. I would love to see Matt O'Riley start a game, though, but only in a situation where we're already promoted, hopefully.
Next question is from at C1SSE. Who comes in for Arter now he's suspended? Bobby Rees should start, in my opinion, as the number 10.
Well, if he starts number 10, then when's Todd Kearney going to play? If we push him out wide, he's ineffective. I think if you put, I think we should start Harrison Reed, holding midfielder with Johansson and Tom Kearney as the midfield. But no, I wouldn't put Bobby Reed as the 10. I'd probably still bring him off the bench. Although I would, he did okay against Southampton when he started. I just think that Mitrovic, he can't be dropped with 5 goals in 5.
Well, they were the Fulham questions. Quick question from me to you, Jack. Were you surprised at the signing of Bobby Reed? Because I spoke to Dom about it. He said, no, we won't get Bobby Reed. And then you ended up, you did sign him. Were you surprised with the options you already had?
I was surprised that we were linked. But as soon as I saw it, I was so excited because I've been a fan of Bobby Reed for, you know, since he broke through in the Championship when he was scoring goals for Bristol City. He scored against us last season and the season before. I know of his qualities. Everyone's aware of him. He's a big name in the Championship. He's a big striker. And to have him as a backup for Mitrovic is only positive. And there is one thing I want to say just quickly. Michael Hector is signing in January. It is happening. The deadline just went.
You said it like it was an exclusive. I got excited. No, it is happening.
No, but it is.
I love it. I love sport. We're telling you now.
Michael Hector's deal just fell through on deadline day. But apparently there's a pre-contract agreement ahead of, a £5 million deal permanent. So another centre-back in January. So that's really exciting.
Okay. So Bobby Reed, he can make a contribution just very quickly.
Yeah, completely. Off the bench. And even if Mitrovic, we could play two up top sometimes if we want to change the system. But yeah, Bobby Reed, brilliant.
Well, this has been the Fulham Fan Show tonight with me and Jack Kelly. Next week, we'll have a full, strong team and back for you on the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.